We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on the upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Welcome to the Upswing. October. It's manufacturing month, so we are highlighting many manufacturers across the area and the state today. We're going to highlight some of the cool products made right here as the annual Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Coolest Things Made in Wisconsin contest continues. We'll learn more about that today. And even though his company didn't make the final round of that contest, Tom Sellers of Sellers Absorbent Products will join us to talk about their latest product and its place on the shelves in Target. Really innovative, green, environmentally friendly product, how it's made, how it's manufactured, and I think you'll be really intrigued on the process of getting a new paper towel product to the shelves and what that competition means, because it is a little interesting when you look at a Target.com and you see all the different prices of paper towels. Like, why would a consumer go for this product over another product? Maybe it's because it's eco-friendly, and even though it's a little bit more expensive, it might be the best choice. But as we do each and every morning on the Upswing, we're going to go two up first.
Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2.
Two up on the Upswing.
Have you looked for an apartment in greater downtown recently? Rent is getting more and more competitive. Saw this in the New York Times yesterday. Columnist says that it's getting hard enough for renters in New York to find an apartment that's affordable in the neighborhood they like. Then there's kind of the average added challenge of beating out the competitors for that. But a September report from Rent Cafe suggests that Chicagoans, Philadelphians, people in Omaha, and right here, Milwaukeeans, are among those that are facing even tougher conditions. A study gauged the competitiveness on Rent Cafe's Rental Competitive Index based on five metrics: occupancy and lease renewals, average days vacant, prospective renters per vacant unit, and share of newly constructed units. The toughest spots for renters in the country: number one, suburban Chicago; number two, Miami-Dade County; and number three, Milwaukee. So it's getting a little tough out there in terms of rent, but you got to think, as Milwaukee gets hotter and hotter from a convention and a relocation standpoint, some of those units may be being used for Airbnb too. So that's something to keep an eye on as we continue to build more housing and get more competitive as a rent environment. Second up, how do you Uber? As part of the ride-hailing giant's latest sustainability push, Uber customers can now set an EV preference that they can choose a fully electric vehicle by default for every ride. The company is also rolling out an AI chatbot that's powered by OpenAI's ChatGPT that will give drivers information on switching over to an EV. The company also said that they're going to have a flat rate shared option that will shuttle users from airports for a flat rate in certain markets. Meanwhile, its rival Lyft is focusing on driver earnings, announcing today that it's boosting pay for certain rides. The company also said that it's partnered with Merit America to enable drivers to take free courses and to work with Stride Health to help them find lower cost insurance. Always interesting to see how Uber and Lyft are competing with one another, not only for our rideshare dollars, but for drivers who are out there to make some extra money or to have that as their primary source for income. Coming up next, we will dive into Wisconsin manufacturers' latest coolest things made in Wisconsin. We're at the Elite Eight, the Final Eight. When will it pare down to the last four? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I was at a lot of events over the weekend and even yesterday. A lot of people are, you know, they want to give feedback. They want to react to the shows. And we invite you to participate officially in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. It takes less than 10 minutes. We want your feedback. To participate, all you got to do, just text the word survey to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. A survey link will be texted back to you. And we want to thank you for your participation. Once you complete it, you'll be entered to win a package that includes two tickets to a regular season Milwaukee Bucks game this season and an overnight stay at the beautiful Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC's Coolest Things Made in Wisconsin contest. It's this annual competition that highlights the state's vibrant manufacturing industry. The contest is into the top eight right now. Nick Novak is the president, or the vice president of communications and market at the WMC. Nick joins us this morning. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing well. Appreciate the promotion.
Of course, of course. So just kind of level set for us first. It's Manufacturing Month, of course. For those that don't know the WMC, just tell us what the organization does and what you work for each and every day for manufacturers.
WMC is the combined State Chamber of Commerce and State Manufacturers Association. So we represent all businesses that are operating here in Wisconsin, and our ultimate goal, the mission of our organization that has been in existence since 1911, so well over 100 years, is to make Wisconsin the most competitive state in the nation to do business, that helps attract businesses here, helps grow our economy, attract and retain workers here in Wisconsin. And so we work on behalf of the business community to make sure that this is a great place to do business, to work, to raise a family. And one of those things that we do is we bring attention to things like our vibrant manufacturing sector, like you just mentioned, operating the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest with our great partner, Johnson Financial Group. We've been doing this for 9 years now, and it's just really an opportunity for us to talk about not only the really cool things that we make here in Wisconsin, but the great careers available making those cool things.
Yeah, and having that opportunity to showcase, you know, people understand the manufacturing base in our state, but you got to humanize it. You got to show us the products, and I think that's what's been so cool, if you will, about this contest. Who are some of the last couple winners?
Yeah, so one of the best things is that we really do have a diverse manufacturing industry. And, I mean, you can look at some of our past winners. Last year, Plexus Corporation with their Bevy bottleless water dispenser. They're a contract manufacturer, and they make this product that is basically you can walk up to it, and instead of having to get a sparkling water out of a refrigerator in a can or a bottle, something like that, you can go right up to this machine, you click a few buttons, you can select how much fizz you want, do you want caffeine, what flavor do you want, and it'll pour it right into your cup right there. This is great for hotels, for corporate locations. And then the year prior, we had Pierce Manufacturing in Appleton with their electric fire truck, one of the first electric fire trucks in the country. Was actually right in Madison, Wisconsin, made by Pierce Manufacturing. And, you know, you can go look back. We've had a rifle win. We've had a Navy crane that lifts up huge ships. I mean, just so many different products. Harley Davidson from Milwaukee. I mean, just the different products that we make here in Wisconsin. As we said, it's so cool, and we love partnering with Johnson Financial Group every year to be able to bring attention to these different products that we make.
So in terms of the final eight that we're in right now, anything surprise you, and can you highlight a couple of the companies and products in the final eight?
You know, I don't think I was surprised by anything. I think I was just excited about the fact that our aim is to showcase the diversity, the vibrancy of manufacturing in Wisconsin. We employ nearly 500,000 workers, over $70 billion in economic output each year from that sector alone. And that all shows in our top eight. I mean, you look at Jolly Good Soda and PS Seasoning, you know, two food processors that we have here in Wisconsin. But then you go to the other side of the bracket and you see that we have John Deere with their signature series lawn tractor. We have a small company that makes custom metal benches for communities and parks all across Wisconsin. I mean, there's all these different products that maybe you know that we make in Wisconsin, maybe you don't know we make in Wisconsin. Another company is Metalcraft Mint Incorporated. They make military medals and insignia, and including having made Olympic medals for the Olympics, that the Winter Olympics we've hosted here in the U.S. recently, and inaugural medals for both Republican and Democrat presidents. I mean, just some really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, and then Metalcraft is right in Green Bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so when we come back, more with Nick Novak. But, Nick, I want to have you let us know when we're going to get to the top four, and then what is on the legislative agenda for small businesses and manufacturers specifically in the for the rest of the year and looking into next year. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Nick Novak joins us from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Nick, again, thanks for your time this morning. So we're down to the eight in the Coolest Things Made in Wisconsin contest. When will we be pared down to the top four? And then how can people engage and vote for their favorites?
Folks can go to madeinwis.com. That's madeinwis.com until 5 o'clock today to cast their vote to determine our top four. We'll close voting at 5 o'clock today. We will announce the top four around lunchtime tomorrow in a live stream video on YouTube and Facebook. So folks can go to WMC's YouTube page and Facebook to like those so that they can follow along. And then we'll start the voting again on Thursday morning right at 8 o'clock. And we will vote for about a week, and we will announce the winner on October 17th, so this following Thursday, at right around 1 o'clock, 1:30 at our WMC Business Day in Madison event. So folks can actually come and attend that event if they want. They can head over to WMC.org. Registration closes tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So anyone who wants to check out some great speakers and find out who wins the coolest thing made in Wisconsin in person, they can head over and register for that event until tomorrow.
So what are some of the other highlights of Business Day?
We have a really great lineup. Not only are we going to be talking about business issues with a CEO fireside chat with Chris Dries, the CEO of Menasha Corporation, we're also going to have Reince Priebus and Donna Brazil, the former RNC chair, the former DNC chair, doing a bipartisan election preview. You know, Wisconsin is one of the top battleground states for the presidential race, for the U.S. Senate. They're going to bring a lot of information there and kind of have some different perspectives. So really looking forward to that conversation. And then we have an expert on geopolitics who's going to be talking about the different threats that we're facing from around the world and how it might impact the business community and folks here at home in Wisconsin and a number of other speakers. So really looking forward to Business Day.
Yeah. And when you look around the Midwest and obviously highlighting all the companies and kind of the legislative agenda at Business Day, when you look around the Midwest, which state do you want to most emulate and why? Are there certain policies or certain agendas that you're like, yeah, you know, that could work really well in Wisconsin?
Well, I think I'd start off by saying that right now businesses, their biggest concern that we're hearing from them is just the high costs. I mean, everywhere they look, things are getting more expensive, whether it's being driven by inflation, whether it's high healthcare costs. Wisconsin has the fifth highest hospital costs in the country. Everything they're looking at, we have high costs. And so I would say that, you know, looking to Iowa, where they are driving down their income tax, their individual income tax, that helps not only workers and families so that they don't have to pay as much into taxes each year. It also helps out our small businesses who pay pay their taxes as an individual. They're called pass-through entities, and roughly 90% of businesses in Wisconsin file their taxes that way. Mm-hmm. So bringing that individual income tax down is a huge win, not only for Wisconsin families, but for businesses in hoping to expand our economy and bring down costs. You know, and I'd also answer your question by saying I really wouldn't want to look towards what Minnesota's doing, what Illinois is doing, especially Minnesota. I mean, they are passing massive spending increases in that state with massive tax increases, so much more regulation onto the business community. It's just really harming their economy, and they're starting to see some of those after effects from it, and we certainly don't want to be following in their footsteps.
Yeah, but there's definitely a recruitment and retention angle in Minnesota that seems to be attracting younger workers, and I think that's an important thing to look for as well. I mean, what are you hearing from the manufacturers in terms of recruitment and retention? And we got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, people are seeing the high costs just like businesses are. So if we can find ways to lower costs in Wisconsin, whether that's through healthcare transparency, tax reform, those are all important. But I'd note in Minnesota, young people are actually starting to leave the state now. You know, they're looking to states that they're finding these lower costs. And so, you know, we just think that Wisconsin needs to get on a track to lower taxes, lower healthcare costs, and really make it more competitive.
Nick Novak from the WMC, appreciate your time. Look forward to the Final Four. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is Manufacturing Month in the great state of Wisconsin, actually all across the country. But Tom Sellers is the CEO and chairman of the board at Sellers Absorbent Materials right here in Milwaukee. The company was founded by John Sellers in 1985 with family involvement and support. And really, as a startup, it's grown and expanded through the years. They use proprietary technology to produce high-performance wipes and shop towels and absorbent products mainly made from recycled natural fibers. The company's signature brands include Toolbox, which is sold throughout the country, and again, made right here in Milwaukee. I'm excited to talk to Tom today because their company, as we just talked to the WMC about, you made the final 16 of the coolest products in Wisconsin, right, Tom?
Sweet 16.
The Sweet 16, indeed. You didn't make it to the last eight, but that's okay. You were showcased as one of the most innovative.
Yeah, we were pleased to make it. One of the challenges was differentiation of people looking at the product, knowing that it was made from curbside recycling and paper waste to make the best performing towel. So hopefully next time we'll win.
Yes. All right. Very good. So, as you look at the consumer right now, how focused is the consumer, especially as, you know, we're all getting a little bit more price sensitive? Is that consumer more focused on green and recycled products today than they were a couple of years ago, or does that kind of ebb and flow?
Well, there's been a long-term trend where people are valuing it more. So let's say the young people that are in the younger generations value it more, let's say, than people in my generation. But the sweet spot of it is to find something that is environmentally friendly but high performance. So that's really the sweet spot. So if you can deliver cost-effective performance, then you get both. Then you're not overpaying, and you're getting this great performing product. And actually, like in our product compared to other competitors, you actually – it's less cost in use because you use less.
Yeah, and it seems like in the consumer's mind that recycled products may come with a higher cost, but now I think that cost benefit analysis as a consumer, that's gone away, and we're like, all right, this is better for the environment, and it's something that I really should put my money towards.
Yeah, I think people are more open to it, but still, where we strive is to make sure we're delivering the value to the consumer. So one of the things we've had to push against and market and educate consumers about is you don't have to sacrifice performance in our product. So in our product categories, recycled tends to be, well, it is worse quality. So we're the differentiator where we're delivering through this proprietary technology the best performing product, but instead of being made with virgin or synthetic materials, we're making it with recycled and natural materials.
And as you look at like the Bravo kitchen towel, obviously, how do you balance that commitment to sustainability with obviously the need for profitability to continue to grow your company?
Right. Well, one of the challenges is trying to figure out how you can technologically do it. And it took us a long, long time with this proprietary technology, which is patented. And we're now delivering the best overall performing kitchen towel in the case of Bravo, but we're doing it with curbside recycling. So, you go out, you're dutiful, you recycle, you put it in a recycle bin, you take it to the curb, and you wonder, where does that really go? Well, the success story is actually recycled paper and boxes. So in our case, we're taking up to 90% curbside recycling and giving another life into the best performing towel.
Wow. So then obviously to manufacture and create that towel, when we come back, I want to talk about the process of getting a new product into a big box store like Target.
Sure.
And then, how do you have control over the pricing? And what are all those dynamics as you evaluate those opportunities? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm fascinated by manufacturing in Wisconsin, especially getting new products off the assembly line and onto our store shelves. We'll hear more about that in a moment. But again, a friendly reminder to do the WTMJ fan survey. It's really easy, a lot of fun questions. You get to provide your full input. It takes less than 10 minutes to participate in the WTMJ Fall Fan Survey. Just text the word survey to 855-616-1620. That's 855-616-1620. You'll get the survey link texted back to you. When you complete the survey, you'll get entered to win two tickets to this upcoming exciting Milwaukee Bucks season, and you'll get registered to win an overnight stay at the Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. Tom Sellers is the CEO and chairman of the board at Sellers. Tom, you have a new product, Bravo, that not only is kind of coming off the assembly line, but you and your team have taken the approach to get into big box retail. How difficult has that been? And just walk us through that process.
Oh, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. This is being an entrepreneur is a game of passion and persistence. And so we start a business at my brother's duplex on Congress in Milwaukee. And the journey from that vision to today, it's been a long 39-year journey.
Yeah.
And so, the first part is you've got to create the product. You need to have something that you think and you've got research that says a consumer really will value right. and want your product.
Finding the right market fit.
Finding the right market fit. And then that's the beginning of it. So trying to get into retail. So our toolbox brand is available nationwide at leading retailers, and that's the blue shop towels and the white rags. And so a Home Depot, a Lowe's, a Menards, a Napa, O'Reilly's, a Tractor Supply. In all those cases, we had to displace our competitor, the competitor that had the shelf space. So in credit to my brother John, who led this effort, he has and had incredible persistence. In some cases, it took him over a decade to get the current customers that we have. So it takes forever to get the customer, and now you get the customer and you're on shelf. Okay, great. You created the product. You've got your positioning. You get on shelf.
Yeah.
Now you have to get somebody to try it.
Yeah.
So now you've got to get trial. And then the product will speak for itself. So once they try it, if you've got a differentiated product that they value, then you get repurchase. And so we built our business over a long period of time by having the old-fashioned way of a product that speaks for itself so that when people use it, they really like it and they tell their friends.
Yeah.
And so once we get on shelf, it's a bit of a marketing slugfest to
right.
get trial. And once we get trial, we get repeat business. And so that's how we built a nationwide brand with Toolbox in the do-it-yourself retail space and major retailers, including Walmart.
And now up against the Bounties and the Vivas and the generic store yep. brands, like you're right alongside them. So you got to do all the positioning and promotion to make sure you're in the consumer eye.
Right. And we're trying to differentiate ourselves. So when you're different, it's a huge challenge because you're different.
Yeah.
But if you can survive it, then those barriers become your benefits and someone else's barrier to entry. So in our case, we're working to get on shelf, and now here locally, we have Bravo at Sendex, Woodman's, and Piggly Wiggly.
Right.
We're rolled out of 305 stores at Target and Target.com nationwide, and so we're beginning to roll it out. And so one of the things we've got to work against is initially the color tan was a negative. Well, now tan is starting to be positive because it makes a statement. The other part is the industry has put more and more air into paper to make you think you're getting more when you aren't. It's like the Frito bag with six Fritos in it.
Hmm.
And so our paper is compressed intentionally, so it's twice as many sheets in the roll, you know, versus the one that's way bigger. So ultimately, those are benefits. And when we ultimately deliver the performance at a competitive price, people are like, man, I can rinse and reuse this thing. This is durable, right?
Right.
But you got to get on shelf, which is a forever process. Then you got to get trial, and then your product needs to perform.
Persistence. That's what entrepreneurship is all about.
It is, and most dreams get crushed along the way.
When we come back, if you stick around for a little bit, I want to talk to you about just the manufacturing space in Wisconsin. Obviously, a lot of people retiring, and we got to fill that job gap. What would you say to a 14-year-old right now? How would you express the opportunities in manufacturing today? This is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. Manufacturing Month continues. Tom Sellers joins us. So, Tom, as you look at the state of Wisconsin, how can we close the gap between the number of jobs and the availability of the number of workers? There seems to be a growing gap there, especially with more and more retirements coming.
There definitely is a growing gap, and it's a challenge. And we're constantly hiring, looking for great people. And it's not only hiring them, it's also retaining them. And so one of the ways that we can help the process is to say that working with hands and being in manufacturing is honorable. For a while, the pendulum swung the other way and was a push towards everything white collar and college. And that's not for everybody. And you can make a great living now being in manufacturing. And we've got people in PLC programming that are doing better than people with accounting degrees. So it's a great opportunity now, and particularly when this older generation is retiring. It's a big part of the workforce. It's going to create great opportunities, even more so than it is today for young people.
Yeah. And when you talk about securing workers, is it about offering additional language classes, flexibility in hours, maintaining the culture, or is it kind of everything put together?
It's an everything. So in our case, we believe in a partnership with our people. And I speak to all of our employees on a quarterly basis, and I end each meeting, and everybody smiles. It's now a joke, but I say, what makes a great company? And they often yell, great people, and I have to do it three or four times, right?
Right.
But it does start with the people. The machines don't run themselves, and people make great companies. And the people are the people that make great products, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to start with a culture that values the people. And in our culture, we strive to have a big tent where we focus on our shared values. We listen to each other respectfully. Don't always agree, but disagree in a respectful manner. And we focus on what keeps us together versus what tears us apart.
Yeah.
And then we provide great salary, great wages. We provide performance bonuses. All our hourly manufacturing people on a quarterly performance bonus. We pay perfect attendance. We have great health care. We have a retirement plan where we match 100%. And our most recent program we're doing with the city of Milwaukee and Havenwoods is a home ownership program.
Hmm.
Homes create stability. The three of us put up money for qualifying applicants. I think we've got maybe 15 people going through it right now. And then as they stay there and qualify, that loan gets forgiven as their down payment.
Hmm.
So we're doing a lot of things in partnership with our people. And for that, our people are highly dedicated and committed. And we've got a really great workforce, but always looking for
more people. Well, and you highlight, I mean, that importance of public-private partnerships is paramount, especially in a city like Milwaukee.
Yeah, and even the state. We're the recipient of a Fast Forward grant from the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, and that's helped us move. I think we have about 30 people in this training program, and it's overall training, and then it also is training with people to move from production into maintenance, which is overall higher paying.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to invest in your people, and they want to see a path for growth and personal reward.
Mm-hmm.
And we try very hard to have a relationship as opposed to transactional. People aren't widgets. They're not transactions. They're not people to be leveraged. It's a sharing arrangement where everybody understands we communicate how we all succeed and win together.
So if we have, say, I have a 12-year-old at home, or listeners have a 12-year-old grandson or granddaughter at home, how do you talk about the opportunities in manufacturing today to a 12-year-old?
Hey, let's look at this stuff, and isn't it fun to look at? Look at this stuff. You know, it depends on kids' aptitudes, right? But some kids are mechanical and really enjoy putting things together and seeing things work. Other people don't. So I think it's about trying to find someone's passion and skill set, where they see themselves in what picture. And there's great opportunities in manufacturing. It's not just in hourly manufacturing or manufacturing management. It's all sorts of areas, marketing, finance, you know, all these different areas, R&D, quality. It takes the whole area of discipline to be a manufacturer. And being a manufacturer, a 24-hour manufacturer, multi-site like we are, it's a challenge, and it takes a really great team.
Yep, and that's what it's all about, and that's the state of our education right now, too. It's more hands-on, it's more adaptable, it's more flexible, and kind of looking into the skill set of the child. And when we do that, we're going to get a better workforce and more creativity and better output.
Exactly, and the people feel that they contribute. One of the things we want to do with our people is connect what they do is important.
Yeah.
What everyone does is valued and important, and it's connected to the customers that we serve. We're serving our customers. Without the customer, there is no business. So we try to make a culture. You mentioned culture earlier. Yeah. I think culture is really important, and we strive to have a strong culture that is a primarily on-site culture because we're a manufacturer.
Very good.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
If you're getting dropped off by Uber or Lyft at Mitchell International, there may be a new $3 surcharge. It's included in County Executive David Crawley's budget proposal and would join an existing fee for getting picked up. A new quick trip for Kenosha in the works at the site of the former Fireside Restaurant and Lounge on 30th Avenue. The store expected to be built in 2025. It would be the 7th quick trip in Kenosha. As Quad Graphics closes printing plants around the country, it's generating cash. The company gets $42 million for its magazine and catalog plant in Saratoga Springs, New York. It closed in May. I'm Rich Kirchen with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on News Radio WTMJ.